and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. That's the word. Dear friends in Christ, how many people do you know just seem to manage to ignore the bigger questions of life and of death? They never really want to talk about anything really important. And in fact, if you get into a conversation with them, the two topics they never want to talk about are politics and religion. It seems to me, as I look around at our world, I see a lot of walking dead people. I think they're only fooling us by breathing because they're really dead. Because there is a death worse than death, and it's the death of the soul. And as you look around at our world, dead souls can be seen on every city street, in every community, and even in every congregation. Reminds me a little bit of what Huxley said in his book, The Doors of Perception, and I thought this was amazing. He says this: most men and women lead lives at the worst so painful, at the best so monotonous, poor and limited, that the urge to escape, the longing to transcend themselves, if only for a few moments, is and has always been one of the principal appetites of the soul. And so to ignore the big questions of life, people begin to fritter away their time, divert their attention, never come to terms with the real issues of their lives. And so they busy themselves with silly little things like sexual affairs, getting more money, bigger homes, bigger cars, always in an attempt to divert their attention, to block the emptiness or the deadness that's within them. Reminds me of that Woody Allen movie, Annie Hall. Some of you maybe have seen it. I think it's kind of a hoot. But the young Alvy Singer, an elementary school age boy, is brought to the doctor for depression. When asked by the doc what's wrong, he explains, well, in school, he's learned that the universe is expanding. And if the universe is expanding, one day, it's going to break apart. His mother adds that as a result of this realization, he won't do his homework. What's the point? He asks. I think that's the question a lot of people in our world are asking. Oh, what's the point? I mean, why bother about getting involved because people don't really seem to care anyways? Why care for other people? No one thanks you. Why bother about doing what's right because the good guy always finishes last? What difference can one person make in this world anyways? Unless it's about the election, and then they realize the importance. We look around at our world, we see sin, we see problems, and not a whole lot changes. And all of us are prone to ask the question, oh, what's the point? It's almost as if we too were dead, or as Paul would say in our text, asleep. We're just asleep. And so Paul says in this letter to the Romans, the 13th chapter, it's time to wake up, folks. Wake up. It's time to wake up and remember who we are. We've been bought with a price, the very blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's time to wake up and remember that in light of God's grace in Jesus Christ, we now are empowered to live our lives differently. It's time to wake up, to reach out and love one another out of thankfulness in response to who we are in Jesus Christ. It's time to wake up from our spiritual lethargy and to remember that our salvation is nearer today, it is nearer today than when we first believed. See, Paul is trying to rouse the people of Rome and us as well. He's preached the gospel to them of Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And he wants them to awaken to faithfulness, to constancy, to endurance, no matter how somber the road or how grievous the cost. Paul says, now that you know who you are in Christ, it means something. It means something in terms of how you live your lives. It's time to wake up and realize that being redeemed gets me to heaven. It forgives my sins, but it also makes a difference in terms of how I live out my life on a daily basis, as Paul says in our text, like behaving properly as in the day, like not carousing, not getting drunk, not in sexual immorality, sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make any provisions for the flesh. It means something to be redeemed. It means not caving in. It means not capitulating morally and financially and ethically. It means not giving up. It means not compromising our theology. It means not ignoring the needs around us of each other here in the community, and not conducting ourselves in arrogance or lack of compassion. In other words, Paul says, it kind of means like loving your neighbor and loving God, the keeping of the law. Now, we all know that on the surface, you can have all of these externals. You can look good, you can act good, but you can still miss it. You can still miss it. It's very possible to be nice, to be kind, to have Christmas cheer, to sing all the carols, give the gifts, and still miss the whole point. Because the point is simply this, that without God, without faith in God, without faith in God that is larger than life, and therefore worth dying for, and therefore worth living for, without a faith that means trust and hope and love, without a lived love affair with God, life is, as the preacher would say, vanity of vanities, the shadow of a shadow, a dream within a dream. Let me put the point in a single word. Now, it seems to me, at least I thought so, that it may be a word that might shock some of you, or may offend some of you, though it comes from St. Paul. Paul used this word to describe his life without Christ, his life that was full of worldly success, education, wealth, power, privilege, and prestige. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Roman citizen educated by Gamaliel, the light of Israel. But before Christ, what was his life? It was dung, garbage. That's Paul's word for it, not mine. Look up Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 in the bold Old King James. Compared with the all-excelling knowledge of God in Christ Jesus, all of the greatest things in the world, according to Paul, are skubala, dung, Job's dung heap. That's the message for a Christian, that this whole season of goodwill, peace to all men, is dung apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, showing love to the neighbor, being nice, doing all of those good things, apart from Christ, they are simply but dung. You see, the world's purest gold, apart from Christ, is only that. It is only dung. But with Christ, the basest metal is transformed into the purest gold. In one sense, I think, the hope of alchemy can come true, but on a spiritual level, not a chemical one. There's a philosopher's stone that transmutes all things into gold, and its name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been clothed with him, folks. Clothed in the waters of holy baptism, washed clean and redeemed by our Savior's death and resurrection, sins have been forgiven, and now you and me sent forth to love, to be kind to one another, to wake up, and to realize that our salvation is nearer today than when we first believed and were baptized. Folks, this is not a matter of hearing what Christ said a long time ago and trying to kind of suck it up and carry it out. Rather, and I love how Lewis puts it, the real Son of God is at your side. He's beginning to turn you into the same kind of thing as himself. He is beginning, so to speak, to inject his kind of life and thought, his life into you, beginning to turn the tin soldier into a live man. And the part of you that doesn't like it, that's the part that's still tin. Or as St. Paul would say, therefore, we never lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which goes beyond all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith unto life eternal. Amen.